got a foreign name. From the kind of car I drive to my video game,
I got a Nikon camera, a Sony color TV.
But the one that I love is from the USA.
I am a woman in a room, the number's too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back to the day, cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, no one's ever gonna keep me down again. Oh yes, I am I, but it's worth the bone of pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained. If I had to, I can do anything. I am strong, I am invincible, I am woman.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. I don't have a whole lot I'm going to start off with tonight, except for that I actually got to meet Governor Scott Walker in person and got to talk to him, and I'm just really excited just by that experience. And he was here in Indiana. They were fundraising for the Republican committee, and so I got to talk to him for like 5 minutes, got my picture taken with him, and it's really, really, really exciting to get to meet somebody who, you know, for the conservative cause is kind of like a hero in standing up to the unions there in Wisconsin. And I also asked him about the presidential race in Wisconsin, and he held his fingers together, and he said it's this close. So there is, you know, it, depending on voter turnout, ground game, you know, there's a possibility that Wisconsin is still in play. And with that, I'm going to say hello to Billy Cotter, my co-host. Hey, Billy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You got to meet Scott Walker. I got to meet Paul Ryan.
Oh, you got to meet Paul Ryan? Awesome.
Yeah.
So, like at a was at one of his events in Iowa. Oh yeah, that's right. They were in Iowa.
Yeah, on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah.
Sunday, yeah.
This was like a little private hosting, so it was really kind of nice to be able to actually ask him questions.
Yeah.
So,
how did you introduce yourself?
I just gave him my name.
I said I'm Billy Cotter of Conservative Nation Radio, an abomination, and an affiliate with OTN.
Oh, cool.
And I gave him some of the links, but, you know, he's probably familiar. Of them. We tweet to them all the time.
Ah, awesome. No, I was just like, oh, yeah, just no. I didn't think that far ahead. It was just like, oh, look, he's here in person. So
yeah.
It was just pretty cool, you know, because it's like that's our standard bearer, you know, let's get this vote out, let's get make this happen. So, but yeah, I was really curious what his take on Wisconsin was, and Mitt Romney actually is in Colorado, and then I don't know if he was already in Nevada, but he was going to do Nevada and Colorado, and I saw a picture of the crowd in Colorado. It was huge, huge. So the polls today out, Rasmussen has Romney at 50% nationwide to Obama's 45, and Gallup still has Romney at 51%. So some good movement, momentum, but, you know, we still have to get out there and vote. It's so imperative that we get people out to vote and that we try to get people out in the swing states because they're already trying to cheat in Florida. Did you see that, Billy? Those letters they were sending out to people?
I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, they just supposedly coming from the, you know, the Republican National Committee telling people they're not eligible to vote because of their immigration status, and it went out in 23 counties in Florida. So they are going to try to cheat, and it's going to be a matter of we just got to get more people out to the polls so that we can overcome whatever methods they invoke.
Yeah.
So
did you see her about that story in Arizona where I guess they were watching People's Court and across the screen flashes the 2012 election results, Barack Obama won?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know what to think about that because, you know, the number of people voting was very small and it was like 43 to 40, which is just nonsensical numbers.
40 million to 36 million.
Yeah, which is just like half of the voters that turned out in 08. So I don't know. I saw somebody say they may have been testing. What's that?
Yeah, someone said they were probably testing graphics.
Yeah.
Just, they could get it to work. And
yeah, because that's
during a live show, though.
Yeah, I know. They're not supposed to. That somebody hit the wrong button, or I don't know. But we will
be
watching.
Why would they populate it? You know, why would they populate it? Why wouldn't they just say, you know, here's the ticker, you know, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, you know, zero and zero still, you
know?
Yeah,
I know. I don't know what that was all about, but there was apparently two stations that did that. And, you know, that's a little bit scary because we know they're going to try to do it, you know, and there were rumors out. And this was months ago about somebody looking for software that would give them 51% of the votes, you know. So, you know, it all crosses your mind. And I think we're all going to be on pins and needles. And it may not be the end of it after the election on November 6th because it's just, yeah. What's going on? It's just scary. I don't know.
Well, let's put it this way. If Barack Obama loses,
right,
and I'm expecting the riot. I am expecting, you know, my husband says, it's all, you know, they're just blowing smoke right now. They'll get used to a Romney presidency. I don't think they will.
Because if you watch them on Twitter, when the, like an actress or somebody comes out for Romney, the hate and the name calling, and if you actually go back and you look at the stories in state where they're already rioting and they these people were going into convenience stores and just stealing things in mass, in groups and crowds.
Yeah, the flash mobs. They do it everywhere, too. And it's really pissing me off, to say the least. I mean, I was in the mall one day when I just, you know, I think they went into Yonkers. I was, you know, in the corridor walking down by the food court and everything, or by the theater. And all of a sudden, I saw this huge mob of kids and teenagers and young adults run into the Yonkers there. And then they all started running out, and they all had merchandise. And here's the beepers going off, beep, 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 you know. And they just ran right past me, right out the door. And I'm like,
I think I would have stuck my foot out.
I didn't even realize what hit me until they were gone. It was like within a matter of, I'd say, a minute or two. And these people, they not only, I mean, they grabbed stuff they're not even going to use, I'm sure. I saw a guy carrying about 6 dresses. And I'm like,
really? Really?
Yeah.
And see, what you know, this is...
And this perfume, and then I went into the... This is the worst part. I went into the Yonkers, and it was trashed. They literally just left bottles of perfume all over the floor, broken, earrings. It was just terrible. It was... Earrings were, you know, scattered. It looked like they were, like, pulling the earring things off of the spindle, you know, that... what I want to call it Lazy Susan. The you know, that thing, and then it just looked like they were all over the place, and I was appalled.
It is appalling, and you know, I don't know that anything like that's happened here. Of course, you know, Indiana's a pretty conservative state, but you know, what is with this? You know, where are the parents? Where is the outrage? Where is the community? Where are the police? You know, why isn't this reported nationally? You know, this is becoming an epidemic. This, or they play and knock them out or something, you know, where they just,
but you want to know the worst part. The worst part was, you know, they flashed everybody's pictures on the screen and stuff like that. And then they even had pictures of the parking lot and the kind of cars they got into.
Uh-huh.
The license plates were not from Iowa. The license plates were from the state. So it's like they travel from state to state. And the thing is, we're on the corner of 3 different states. So they know that if they just get across those state lines, there's really very little that'll be done to them.
Oh, that's too bad. But that's one of the reasons why I think there will be riots, because they're not individuals who have been taught any respect for property, other people. You know what I'm saying? It's just like...
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They're doing this already. So when they don't get their way on election, as they've been told in the media, if you go like onto Huffington Post and places like that, these people don't live in the same world we do. If you mention that Obama's up in a poll, they just go nuts. Like,
yeah,
well, you're not right.
The thing they consider respect is, the only one who deserves respect is Barack Obama. Not even, you know, the president of the United States, because we all know they showed no respect for Bush.
I know. And then for them to come back at us and try to say, you can't disrespect Obama like that, it's like, really? What did you guys do with Bush? And that's all you heard about was Bush this and Bush that, and, you know, no respect at all.
You want to know the number of times Bush was called a liar over the WMDs?
Oh.
Come on, give me a break.
And they're still doing it. You know, and he didn't actually, you know, he wasn't an outright liar like the current president we have, you know. I think Hardy was a good man, and I think he had some, go ahead.
He was given faulty intelligence, and it's nothing like this Benghazi debacle. This Benghazi debacle was all a ploy to try getting at our right to free speech. That's it. And I mean, I don't know how anybody couldn't recognize that, but they are after...
You think it was that, though, Billy, or that they were covering? Because one of the buildings hit was a CIA building.
Right, but...
So that were they, and were they arming rebels?
It is a cover-up, but they had an agenda with their cover-up, being that they are seriously trying to knock our free speech. They are trying to get us to have restrictions on speech at the UN. And that is something that's kind of scary, because if they ever enter some sort of treaty about it, we're screwed.
Now, we don't have to abide by it because we have a constitution that says no.
No, our constitution, we have the Holland versus Missouri. It shows that if there's a treaty entered into, like the gun rights, we only have to go through Congress. We don't have to do like the changing of the constitution. And, you know, it'll just go through Congress. If the Congress, granted, I don't think our Congress would ever pass that.
Well, it depends on who's in power.
Exactly.
Because go back to the communist agenda, and it's you know, make the UN the power and gain control of one or more of the political parties. So it depends, you know. And I'm not saying there aren't some in the Republican Party that are also, you know, working on that agenda. Yeah, I mean, this is why Washington just needs to be totally we need new people.
I mean,
we need new blood.
Right now at the UN, we have the exact treaty they want us to sign that is for gun rights. They want us to restrict our gun, you know, our gun ownership, and give them all the details. Give the UN our registration data.
Which is ridiculous.
And that treaty, all it needs to be is signed, and then it'll go to Congress, and if it's passed in Congress, we're screwed. And if that were to happen with free speech, too, we're not only screwed. I mean,
it'll be war. You know it will, because there's just too many people in this country with guns, too many people who we like our freedom, and we like our Constitution, and so really, this is what's kind of scary about this whole election, is that some people don't have any clue as to what the agenda is. And I know Michael had him on, and they were talking about Agenda 21 on his show on Monday, which is basically just their way of getting the 1963 communist agenda pushed through. Because if you look at the goals and the things they do, it's all one agenda to bring us down, so that we're not the beacon of the free world, and that, you know, that these other countries, like look at Russia, they're reneging on the nuclear treaty. Yeah, they're reneging on it.
Yeah.
Why Obama's going to cut us back. And see, this is actually in that communist agenda. This stuff is there. You just got to read it. And people say, well, Russia's not a problem. Well, Russia's arming Syria against the United Nations and against what America wants, because America won't stand up and say, no, you can't do that.
If they were not a problem, I tell you this, there would be no need for flexibility after the election.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And we have got to, I've just been told not to talk so fast. I have to take a break. I was answering Bing in the chat room and said, don't talk so fast. It's like, what? Really? So, anyway. But, yeah, it's all about an agenda of some sort, and it's not good for America as a free nation. And, you know, there's just a whole generation in there that's been indoctrinated that, you know, oh, this is about your freedom, and the conservatives want to take away your freedom, you know, to be as immoral as you would like, you know. But they don't understand. They say, oh, go to Sweden, go to Norway. But you know what? People aren't trying to flock to Norway or Sweden. People want to flock here. And it's because we do have, and we will have again once we get this president removed, you know, the greatest country on earth. And there are those.
Did you see that today, too? There was a new video out. They were showing about Sweden, the Muslims there. They were Muslim students, and I guess they had a project, so to speak, of, you know, putting together a video. And this one Muslim student put together a gay porn video.
Whoa.
And everybody was up in arms. The police were in there. They were, I mean, it was really, really bad. And they're trying to invoke Sharia law in Sweden.
Oh, yeah. They want to take over the world. And
yeah.
So, you know, it may not be communism that's our biggest threat. It may be the extreme Islam that is our biggest threat,
absolutely.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, either way you look at it, it's a threat. And it's not just a threat to us, but you're talking Sweden. We're talking about the free world. You know, they got these problems in France. They got them in England. They got them all over the place. So, you know, it's not something that's just, you know, a single issue for the United States. But we need to take that leadership because we're the ones that the free world looks to, just like what's in Syria. You know, oh, don't do that. We want you to step down. You know, you don't have anything to back that up with. And this is part of what the debates was back last night. And as far as I'm concerned, if you take out all the lies, it was a Mitt Romney win because all Obama did was sit there and lie through his teeth the whole time. Now, if you look at style, yeah, Obama was good, you know. But if you look at substance and you look at truth, then Romney won. But unfortunately, there's so many people that aren't going to go that far to even look for the truth to know that.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did anyone, I mean, you or Bing, because I guess you're the only two here, did you or Bing notice one thing that really stood out to me last night was the use of the word current when addressing or when talking about Biden?
No, I didn't. I
he said his current vice president was against him going into take out bin Laden. But I don't know, the thing that really bothered me was the word current in there. Why would he say current? You know, to me that would mean that he doesn't intend it for the future. But if his, he could have said something like running mate or, but the word current just sticks out to me for some dumb reason, you know?
Well, you know, I didn't really notice that. Didn't really pay attention to that. So, but
yeah.
Half the time Obama says stuff that doesn't make a whole lot of sense anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was lying through his teeth. He doesn't even know his own record. It's like, you know, this sequestration. He signed that law. And then he turned around and wanted to blame it on Congress and wanted to say, well, that's not going to happen. Well, how can he say it's not going to happen? You know, because it's a law that he and Congress, you know, worked and signed, and it will happen unless he can work with Congress, which he's already shown he can't. You know, it's just, it raises more questions than it does answers. And, of course, his handlers try to walk that back immediately after the debate because, you know, he's like, it's not going to happen. And then he wanted to keep troops in Iraq. He wanted that, whatever that treaty is, and it didn't happen. So, and he lied about that, too. Does he think that people don't know this stuff is on record? I try to figure it out, but I think he's more, I'm looking at him like he's a puppet because somebody else is running this country. I don't think it's him, you know, because he doesn't even seem to know, you know, what his administration has done. Or,
oh, absolutely.
Do you agree? I mean,
yeah.
Is it just me? Am I the only one thinking this way, that he's just the figurehead?
You know, I watched Obama closely last night, and I'll tell you, he looked more like a student, and Romney looked more like a teacher.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was leading a class of some sort, and Obama was patiently watching and listening to him, basically for something to cry out and say, I don't agree with you, or you're a liar about this. To me, Romney looked more presidential, more leader-like. Obama, he just seemed like his agenda was to do nothing more than make Romney look like a flip-flopper on everything.
Or
that's
call,
all he
yeah.
wanted to do.
Try to make
and
him out a liar. Yeah.
Romney just sits there trying to prove that he knew something and that he could be leader-like. And I think it worked. I think he won on all angles of what he was seeking to do.
Right. And you know, because he couldn't get, I think he deliberately stayed away from Benghazi because that could have been a trap and it would have distracted from the last 2 weeks.
Right.
I think a lot of people didn't like that, but I think it was a smart play because what he did do was he He used names. He used numbers. He used facts. He used history.
Right. He had the facts. He had the substance on his side.
Right. When he was talking about the leaders, you know, about this and that, and he was showing that, yes, he does understand what's going on. You know, he does understand on foreign policy, and that, because that was going to be their thing. He's a newbie. He can't do this, you know, kind of thing. What was interesting is a lot of the focus groups thought that Obama won the debate, but they were still leaning Romney, you know, which is interesting.
Well, let me just say another thing about last night's debate that kind of puzzled me more than anything I want to say is that I was interested in watching a foreign policy debate, and it turned into an economy debate. And I understand why Romney led it that way, only because, you know, Admiral Mullen once said that our national debt was the biggest threat to our national security. And I can understand how he was trying to link them to show that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there were things I really wanted to hear about national security, about, foreign policy going forward. Because my husband's in the military. And there were certain things I wanted to hear. And I know my husband wanted to hear some. He was very disappointed at the end of that debate last night. And I can remember the only question he told me earlier he wanted to be addressed was, when we go into war, we go in to win.
Oh, absolutely. Or you don't go at all.
We don't go. That's what he wanted to hear one of them say. He did not hear that, and he left the house for work last night very disappointed.
It wasn't actually, I mean, there really wasn't, I don't think, an opportunity with the questions that were asked by Bob Schieffer,
right.
And obviously he got to ask the questions.
I said, they're not in control of saying what they need to say. It's basically got to answer the question. So blame the moderator. Don't blame them for not addressing.
Well, and here's what I liked, what I did like, and what I did hear was on Israel. As Romney says, they're not going to have to tell us the bombers are on the way, which tells me he's going to be in communication with Israel. And we will already know that. There's not going to have to be a public announcement because we'll be in the planning stages with Israel.
Which I think is very
important, you know.
I think it was good that he dodged that question, too. I mean, he didn't dodge it. He basically I'm not going to deal with a hypothetical like that because that's not going to be an issue for me as president. I'm not going to hit it to the point where the bombers are already on their way.
Right.
That's never going to happen because if the bombers are on their way, guess what? I already knew.
And our ships are going to be there. We're going to be right there, which I thought was very good. But, you know, I don't know how many people actually caught that because some people don't look for those nuances in those answers so much, you know. Whereas Obama, you can't tell him ahead of time because it will get leaked to the public. Of course, you know, we would all like to have seen him go after Obama. But again, I think he had a strategy that went farther than the debate and goes into the general election, which is far more important than making your point at a debate that your base wants to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I know. I think Obama was condescending in the one area when he started saying, we have, you know, ships that planes land on called aircraft carriers, you know, and then those ships that go under sea or
ships
under the
that
water.
Go under the water. It's like, really? I don't even know what they're called.
he was trying to be what's the word I'm thinking of? It's just with a P. parochial. He was trying to be parochial and trying to have like this elementary school teacher, type of sound it to his voice, saying this is what they're called and stuff. And when he said nuclear submarines, I don't know if people they don't understand something about the nuclear submarines, because at first, I'll tell you, I didn't until my husband explained them. A nuclear submarine does not have nukes on it, just so you know. A nuclear submarine
powered by nukes.
And, yeah. And I was seeing a lot of tweets last night about, Obama's talking about nuclear submarines and the stuff about wanting to bomb the world. Or, you know, we only need one. One bomb is all we need and all this stuff. And I'm like, you really don't understand, do you? If we got 15 coming at us.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have 15 going back.
Yeah, and here's another thing they don't understand, is it won't be one country against the United States. If there is ever anybody bold enough to take that action, it's going to come from a group. You know, there's going to be several countries involved because nobody's stupid enough to take us on one-on-one. At least they haven't been until this president. But you know what I'm saying? It will come as like a China, Russia, Middle East thing together. They'll hit us.
Yep.
Because we are the only thing standing between them and the rest of the free world. People don't understand this, but it's true. You know?
But I'll tell you what I wanted to hear last night. I did want to hear something about bringing up the Libya thing, just to say, like when you brought up the apology tour, just to say that we are, you know, our freedom of speech is to blame for anything. Even the riots, even them being disgruntled, even for them scratching their nose, is an apology.
Yeah, it's, you know, crazy. Yeah.
It's insane for him to try coming forward with a narrative of the fact that we have a freedom of speech here in America is a bad thing to the Muslim world.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows, it shows a very big love for Sharia law. It really does. If you ever really listened to him talk about it, and if you heard that UN speech, he was addressing a desire. That's the word I'm thinking, a desire not to have a freedom of speech and to have a sense of Sharia law here.
Well, yeah, and to do that, they got to get rid of our guns and our Bibles. As Bing has pointed out earlier, and we have an underground hard drive. I wonder if that's Stephen. Stephen's from Wisconsin, right? I think. Anyway, I got to meet Governor Walker tonight, so it was exciting. And shook his hand, had a picture with him. Great. So, and he says Wisconsin could be in play. He says it's really, really close. So as a matter of getting people out to the polls, it's all about the ground game, and it's going to be about that throughout the states, you know, Ohio, Florida, Pennsylvania, Colorado, where Mitt is tonight, and there's a huge crowd. There's a picture on Facebook somebody posted, a huge crowd out to see him in Colorado tonight. So all good things. Three national polls, actually, Billy. I mentioned the Rasmussen and the Gallup, but the ABC News, Washington Post, actually out has Romney at 49 and Obama at 48. So there's been a real, real swing in those, which is good news. But overall, I thought Romney showed that he could indeed have a grasp of what's going on nationally, which is, or internationally, which is what he needed to do in that debate. You know, I'm thinking, oh, go on the attack, go on the attack. But what's that?
Internationally, but not globally. See, that's the difference I want to see between the two of them. I don't want another global leader here. I don't want someone who's going to say, we all must sing kumbaya before we attack anything. You know, go to the UN, go to NATO, anything. I want someone to be decisive and say, hey, this is an American problem, therefore it is my problem, and I'm going to make the decision. I'm not going to let anybody else say yay or nay in a committee meeting first.
Yeah, and we don't really know how Romney stands because he can't actually come out and say that because we're already labeled warmongers. And, you know, and if he said that, man, it'd be heyday, and people would be just so turned off. So, you know, it's kind of, that is one kind of a question. I want to think the way he talks about America and how we should be the leader and we should be strong and we have to be strong in order to lead. You know, I want to think that he thinks the same way that we do, but, you know, you don't really know. And he can't actually come right out and say it unless you're, you know, and even if you're just talking one-on-one, because look at what happened from that $50,000 plate fundraiser in May. I mean, that's one question that I don't know that we'll have answered.
That was the only one. he's had quite a few of those fundraisers since.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Well, what I was at tonight was actually a fundraiser.
Remember I brought up that one thing about the phone call, the people's court thing? When I was trying to do a little research on that article I just fell upon,
uh-huh.
I also found a really interesting thing that's been deleted, and I didn't get a screenshot, but it was called WCPOD. It was the election results, and it had totals in it for Mike Pence,
yeah,
of Indiana losing,
uh-huh. Oh,
400,000 to 900,000.
Well, then we know that's not right, because Mike Pence isn't going to lose. There's no way
he loses.
I know.
I kept thinking to myself, how on earth could they put those kind of totals in there?
Yeah, that I don't know what they're doing, but
I said to myself, I have to get this to Brenda, but you weren't online at the time, so.
No, I've been kind of running, and I had this like I said, this fundraiser thing tonight, and so I haven't really been on much today. And my daughter crashed. Well, she didn't crash. Somebody crashed into her, so we're down a car,
oh, no.
And we're having to deal with that. Fortunately, she's okay, but just a lot
yeah.
going on. But, Pence isn't going to lose. I mean, he's not even close to losing here in Indiana.
Yeah, they had Murdoch,
so.
They had Murdoch losing, too, but then they had, like, three other Republicans for the state winning. Okay.
Murdoch is winning, but he's not winning by a whole lot because we have the Lugar holdovers here. So hopefully
yeah.
they'll break. They've got ground game going, trying to get voters out and try to reach the voters prior to the election. And Mitt Romney's actually cut an ad for Richard Murdoch. And so, you know, out of all the races, that's the only one that, you know, could potentially, I think, be a loss as far as that goes. But, you know, as far as the rest of them, they're not real concerned here in Indiana. We're pretty heavily Republican state, except for down around Indianapolis.
Yeah. And
Gary. But, you know, Gary doesn't usually have an effect on our elections so much.
Oh, but they do. They print the ballot.
They did last, in 2008, they had an effect. But, and, you know, yeah, northern part of the state is more Democratic, but we're the second largest city, and we're pretty heavily Republican, although we do have a Democratic mayor. I don't know how that exactly works, but.
So did anybody watch the third-party presidential debate today?
I did not.
Four third-party presidential candidates participate in a debate in Chicago, organized by the Free and Equal Elections Foundation.
Yeah. See, this scares me because, you know, these people are just pulling votes from, and I, if you actually look at what's going on, if you actually put the pieces of the puzzle together, this is not the election to be running a third party. I don't care how upset you are that your guy didn't get the nomination, and, you know, I don't care that Governor Romney at one point was pro-choice and now says he's pro-life. I'm going to trust him on that issue because
we may not have
another chance to elect a president. This is our. I think this. If we don't get this right this time, we're in serious trouble.
There's a chick from Massachusetts, Boston area, who I guess when Romney was there, she's now claiming that Romney tried stopping her from getting an abortion when her life was in trouble. And now she's trying to show him as a flip-flopper on that as well, that he was basically even more pro-life, which is going to bring out more of his base.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I'm like, this is a backfire if that's the truth.
And
you
I'm
know,
wondering, because they said they had some sealed records from a court case, and I'm wondering if that's the one. See, this is Gloria Allred. Well, you know what? If they're going to unseal his records, then I want Obama's records unsealed. And if they start this nonsense, then we need to make noise, you know, about Obama's records being unsealed, because this is ridiculous. But,
he was also only 34 at the time. So, you know, this is just more, you know, distraction they're trying to throw out there. They're desperate.
But
and they'll
just,
do anything.
The thing is, you get what I'm saying? It's going to take all those Todd Akin fanatics, even empower them more. It's going to make them more determined to vote for Romney, because a lot of them are actually thinking to vote for third party simply because his stance is, but, you know, for the life of the mother is an exception. But those guys are pro-life no matter what. And so am I, actually. That is my stance, but I'm not going to elect a candidate based on my stance. I'm going to make sure that he protects life at as much of a cost to it as possible.
Right. And here's the thing on that. Here's the thing on that, Billy. You'll never get the law that overturns it totally first round.
Oh, but did you
see... Because we'll be called...
Did you see the video from Jane Roe?
No, I did not.
I sent it out on Twitter, but here, I'm going to put it in the thing. Maybe you can play it on the air, or I'll play it on the air. It doesn't matter. But this was very interesting, to say the least.
Oh, I'll have to listen to it. But here's my point. There's so much friction on this issue in the United States as it is. And so on the first round of passes, if you don't have those exceptions in there, nobody, you know, you're going to have you're going to have a huge fight anyway, but the fight's going to be almost unwinnable. But if you put those exceptions in there, it takes away their argument. But what about the rape, or what about the health of the mother? If you take those out of there, then they have less reason to oppose it. You see what I'm saying? So if we can even get that much passed,
right,
we're going in the right direction. And then as they realize that not too many people have rape or health of the mother as a reason for abortion, then you can go for the total negation of everything. You know what I'm saying? But I think that actually the first go round, I don't think you're going to get it totally overturned in one swipe. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's really reasonable. And, you know, I'll make that concession, because look how many millions of lives you're going to save just doing that, you know. And so I think it's kind of a good strategy. Although I'm with you, I'd rather see it gone all together. But in order to do that, we're going to have to change mindset. And that's not going to happen overnight, you know.
Okay. Well, do you want me to play this thing from Jane Roe?
Oh, you got it? Go ahead, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to quickly play that for you.
Okay.
It's from, her name's Norma whatever, the real chick, but I'm going to up the volume so you can hear it better.
Okay.
Okay.
Most of you won't recognize me or my real name. It's Norma McCourty. I'm also known as Jane Roe, the plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion in America and changed our nation in an unprecedented way. Back in 1973, I was a very confused 21-year-old with one child and facing an unplanned pregnancy. At the time, I fought to obtain a legal abortion. But the truth be told, I have three daughters and have never had an abortion. However, upon knowing God, I realized that my case, which legalized abortion on demand, was the biggest mistake of my life. You see, abortion has eliminated 50 million innocent babies in the U.S. alone since 1973. Abortion scars an untold number of post-abortive mothers, fathers, and families, too. You read about me in history books, but now I'm dedicated spreading the truth about preserving the dignity of all human lives, from natural conception to natural death.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be sad, though, to have your name attached to that and not actually believe that? How would you live with that? That would be very hard.
She went to court for an abortion, for the right to have one, and she never even had one.
Well, she was preyed upon, is what she was, because this was, you know, the feminist movement was something they wanted to use to infiltrate the courts and you know, start chipping away at our Constitution and about, you know, just these court cases and about our and our morality here, because the morality has to go, you know, in order to take down this nation, you've got to get rid of the morals. and the values that we stand on. And, you know, so she, I, you know, at 21, they used her.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And they'll use anybody. I mean, look at where Obama's going now. They're going into the high schools, and they're going back into the colleges, and they're targeting our young people. And
yeah.
It's like, this is unscrupulous. This is not, to me, it's un-American, you know,
yeah.
Because they're so impressionable. And as most people will tell you, they may start out as a liberal and end up a conservative as they get older. I've always been a conservative, even when I was young. So I didn't have that transformation. But a lot of people will tell you that when they're younger, because they're not really thinking in those terms, you know, it's not, they're more interested in what they're, you know, what they're going to do on Saturday night or whatever, than, you know, in actually what I believe and why I believe it. So, but yeah. So they preyed on her as a young woman and used
yeah.
her to gain what they wanted. And it's pretty sad. But again, we won't get it overturned in one fell swoop. And if we can just make a concession to get it down to cases of rape and abortion, that's most abortions today are done for social reasons, which is just not acceptable. Using abortion as birth control, you know, that's just not acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable anywhere, and certainly not here in our country. But I'm just going to start telling people, Billy, if you don't like it here, leave, because this is America. And this is the way we were founded. We were founded on moral values and principles. And if you don't like it, go live somewhere else. Because, you know, I'm just tired of them people running down our country. And it's the country that everybody wants to come to, because they know here is the way you can actually live out your dreams if you so choose. You know, they're not trying to run to all these other supposedly great countries. They're coming here. And now Canada, too, is having issues with people coming there. And I don't know. I kind of got off track there, so I just kind of lost my mind for a moment. But
I put the link to that, you know, Arab video and to Missouri versus Holland.
Okay.
The thing about the treaties in there, too. Just
okay.
In case I get so that... You can look those up, too. They're really interesting. I didn't even know the whole truth about the treaties, you know, the treaty issue, until I found out it would change our nation as a whole, basically, without a constitutional change at all. It'll take our constitution out of the picture if they make a treaty like this.
Well, I sure hope not. And I still think there's enough true American patriots in both parties that's not going to happen, because I don't think they've fully infiltrated both parties.
Right.
I think there's a lot of misguided people. But
you mean
I like
Al Sharpton and...
What?
You mean like Al Sharpton and that?
No, I think Al Sharpton's probably one of them. I don't think
he's
misguided.
Misguided.
No, he's not. You can't be that misguided. Some of those people are still...
I really think he's that foolish. I think he's very... he really believes the stuff he says, not so much because he's one of them, but just because they've convinced him. That's just how I've always seen him. Because there are sometimes he talks real smart stuff, and the thing is, though, when you confront him with it from a different angle... It automatically clears up a picture for him he doesn't want to see.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know, because how can they, especially these people, Al Sharpton them, how can they look at like a Herman Cain and just say he's bad, he's a bad man?
Because
if they're not totally, if they're not totally in the agenda.
When the Republicans took the key out, unshackled the slaves off the plantation and told them to go free, he's one of them that ran right back to the plantation for his next meal instead of going out and looking for it himself. And that's why. I'm just saying, that's just an analogy of how, the civil rights movement they press and everything, they look at a need for the government to control their lives.
See, but I don't know. I don't know with him and Jesse Jackson if they aren't part of the agenda because of the money that they receive for their part, you know.
But, you know,
their part is to stir up. Their part is to stir up racial tensions and to keep them high. That's their part in this country. Because if you notice, they'll do that. They did it with Trayvon Martin. You didn't see him anywhere near Herman Cain. You know, you don't see him when it's a conservative that's being attacked. You only see it, you know, in these other cases. And even the ACLU, they're either tools and they're being used, or they're knowingly taking part. And I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. Because these people could be your next door neighbors. The guy that originally back, I don't remember when, but he went to this meeting because they were talking about these communists in America, and he said they were all these older people that you would never suspect that was his goal, you know. So, you know, it's really hard to say. What's that?
Speaking of the ACLU, there's another article for you to look at.
Okay.
From the National Review. The NAACP and the ACLU have invited the UN to oversee our election.
I saw that. It's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. But, you know, and I think they've actually overlooked some of our other elections. But here's the thing. They got no say in our elections. Period.
Exactly why they shouldn't be overseeing it.
Yeah, no. And there's some states that are already blocking their attempts. I think it was Mississippi or one other, some state in the South that was blocking the attempt, you know.
Yep.
I think because we have our Twitter and our blog talk and our Facebooks, that some of these states, because even Congress, because this is still about the blind sheik over there in Egypt,
yep.
whether people want to admit it or not, and Congress said, you will not release a blind sheik, you know. So they took proactive because they've heard it from the conservatives on the internet, you know what I'm saying? Because Fox News is watching the internet, and that's where they're getting a lot of their, you know, tips and stuff from to follow up on. So I think we're doing a good job, and we need to keep it up, and we need to keep the pressure on. And it doesn't end with the election. Hopefully, when you know we elect Mitt Romney, and we get a Republican Senate to go with our Republican House, we need to keep up the pressure because these people are not going to go away. Because they're not going to be happy until they achieve this goal. And the only way we counteract them is if we just keep active with publishing the truth, you know.
Right, and see, that's where, I don't know if you saw the special on hating Breitbart.
No, I did not.
It was awesome. It brought out the truth behind everything that happened the day of the Kill the Bill rally in front of the White House, or in front of the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they said they heard the word, the N-word, walking up the steps or something? And then someone was spit on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was it shows the truth behind that. And did you know Andrew Breitbart, he offered money if anyone could show that word being uttered one time. He offered $100,000 to anybody who could prove on their cell phone, because he looked in the crowd, and immediately he's like, the new media. That's the new media. You know, everybody's got a cell phone.
Right.
And said, if anyone can prove to me that it occurred even once, I'll give you $100,000. Nobody ever came forward.
Yeah.
Nobody. And he went to Jesse Jackson Jr. himself because he had two phones going. And he asked for his coverage, and it wasn't on there. But the thing about the guy being spit on, a guy was shouting, and he had his hands cupped around his mouth, and that's when John Lewis turned, and he got angry because he said he was spit on. And just a guy who was shouting, and spittle came off his mouth.
Yeah.
And you see it briefly in one of the clips. But this movie, Hating Breitbart, shows a lot of the anger that everyone had at Breitbart for keeping that narrative alive, for going after the truth about it. And that's what we've been doing here. And that's why we have places like Own the Narrative. And that's why we have places like Blog Talk. And we have, you know, the Facebook.
Even just Twitter, Billy. I've got over 1,000 followers now, most of them conservatives, and just people out there looking to push the message and push the narrative, you know, and get the facts and get them out to their people. So, you know, social media is going to be probably our salvation as far as, you know, pointing out what's going on and what's really happening. And I'm not real big on my cell phone camera yet, but maybe that's going to have to come.
I am for my own memories. Like, if I want, like, my children's recitals and stuff like that, I take my camera out at those things and get them taped. But,
yeah,
you know, it's not always anywhere else. You know, I don't just think of grabbing my phone when I see a confrontation, but I know I should, you know, thanks to Andrew Breitbart. But,
yeah,
you know, and he was a big loss to our cause, but the cause didn't die because he, you know, is gone.
No, and basically what he's saying, we can't be silent anymore, and he's right. You know, the silent majority cannot be silent anymore. It doesn't mean we necessarily have to stoop to their level, but we have to be willing to push back and say, no, this is not how this is going to be, you know, just because you say so. And so I think it's interesting. I think, like, with Stacey Dash coming out and then going on national television, she voted for Romney today, and then she had all this hate mail again. You know, it's like on Twitter, it's just ridiculous, ridiculous how much they hate and the words they use to express themselves, which, you know, tells me they're illiterate, because only illiterate people need to speak that way. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and disrespectful. But I'm only doing an hour tonight because I got to work tomorrow. So we've got about 2 minutes and 35 seconds left. So anybody listening, we're glad you tuned in tonight. And Billy, I'm glad you called in tonight. You're doing your show
Thursday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And it'll be right here on Conservative Nation. The name of it is Nobomination. I do use the hashtags on Twitter, and I should hopefully get some people in the chat room, I hope.
Okay. I'll try to remember if I'm home. They're actually having a concert over in Defiance, Ohio with Mitt Romney. It's going to be John Rich from Big and Rich and some other guy from Alabama, but Romney's giving a speech in Defiance, Ohio. So I don't know. That's on Thursday night. I don't know if that's pretty close to me. So I don't know. I might try to get over there, but if not,
this
I'll try to remember to tune in.
Anyone who wants to be on my round table is definitely welcome. I just want to do a round table show basically about why a third party is going to hurt this election in both ways. You know, it'll hurt Obama, it'll hurt Romney. We don't know who it'll hurt more, but it'll still hurt. And even those fake numbers that went across the screen in Arizona or whatever during People's Court, it showed that it was like 40% to 43%, meaning there was a third party that was picking up some.
Right, right. And it's going to be very crucial, especially in some swing states, that it could come down to 1% or 2%. And if that's the third party vote, you know, they've just screwed the rest of America, because this is an election about America. This is not about party. This is about, you know, saving our country from the path we don't want to go down. And I don't know why people don't understand. I thought we hit it pretty hard. Maybe we need to hit it again. You know, maybe I need to go back and do my show I did back in October with Herman and Cain, because I think more people are paying attention now than they were before. But we really, really need to start hitting that hard here in the last 2 weeks and work on getting out the vote. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. And that's all.
We'll
see you, Billy. Okay.
Yeah.
See
you later.
Hopefully I'll remember on Thursday. Sometimes I just forget, you know, because if I'm working Thursday morning and I just don't get online and I totally forget. So
yeah.
Okay. We'll see you, Billy.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.